From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, this is Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, and we welcome back for another year the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Same to you. The first issue of the new year introduces us to some of the heritage businesses in our region, and those are those businesses that have been around for 100 years or longer. Were you surprised at the sheer number of businesses
Absolutely.
That have been around so long?
And so we covered, about 14, 15 of them in, you know, regular articles, and then we had a sidebar with a list of other interesting businesses that have been around, you know, like Clayton's and many others. And that was even selected. Riverside Men's is 100 years old. There's a Despert Marble. They're 100 years old. So there's all these other places that are 100, you know, years old that we did not, couldn't even find space to even mention, which I think is, must say something.
Yeah. Well, what is the secret to these businesses lasting so long?
I think adapting to changing times, but just always maintaining standards, just old-fashioned customer service and quality. Great products, quality products, great customer service, attention to detail, always being there, working hard, just what you'd expect.
For some of these businesses, the Amos Zittel and Sons Farm is an example. A new generation keeps coming along that is interested in keeping the family tradition.
That's true. That farm has been in the same family hands for the entire 100 years, as has Lockwood's greenhouses. But they've changed. They grow different things. They offer different services. They open different markets. They find out what their customers really want and need, and that's what they give.
And we do see instances, though, where a new generation does not want to be a part of the family business, and then the business disappears.
Yeah.
The Tondos, for instance.
That's right. And it does seem, and that was a really beloved restaurant. I think the restaurant sector is one where you don't expect to see too many 100-year-old businesses at all. However, in Western New York, we have quite a few, way more than we could mention.
Well, some of them are outlined in your special section, and that includes Ulrich's and the Glen Park Tavern.
That's right. But there's also Swanee House. There is Schwabel's. I think the Eagle House. So there's a few. And it's interesting, too, that only one of those is in the city. But some of these, keep in mind that some of these businesses haven't always been in the same place, too. They've moved around a little bit.
And then there's TapeCon, a company I knew nothing about before reading your special section. It started out as the Davis Bulletin Company, making signs for theater lobbies, and that has evolved into biotech.
I know.
Fascinating.
And TapeCon, that name says nothing to me about what they do, and I'd never heard of them. So that was fascinating to learn about them and what they do and how they're making all these very sophisticated types of systems for hospitals now and the medical profession, whereas they used to make signs for theater lobbies. And it's just, they just adapted what they do.
Yeah. I was reminded that the Kittinger Company is still around. It was owned by some major American corporations and almost went out of business in the 1990s, only to be saved by one of the furniture makers there.
Yes. I hope I say his name right. Ray Bielikowski and his wife were interviewed in the article, and they're still making furniture that finds its way to the White House and to Congress, to the Capitol building. I think that we have a picture in there of some chairs that are going to Nancy Pelosi's office.
Yeah. But now it's a boutique furniture
yes.
maker rather than a mass market furniture maker,
That's
as it
true.
Might have been.
That's true. But there's, it's just Kittinger. Its history is so rooted in the region, and you can still find old Kittinger furniture through a lot of the antique places. And, of course, we all remember that beautiful building they had on Elmwood, which was torn down.
Yeah. And one interesting tidbit for me as a journalist is that the Jamestown Post-Journal is the oldest business, at least that you found, dating back to 1796. That's some serious longevity.
That is serious longevity. And, you know, there these, I just want to stress that these are for-profit businesses only, because if we went into just organizations that have been around that long, we would have to include a ton of educational institutions, museums, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So, because we're an old community.
Yeah. Also in the January issue, you write about an exhibit now underway at the Birchfield Penny Arts Center. It features the paintings of Harvey Breverman, and unlike other artists who might document history with actual photographs, he chronicles some mid-century historic events through paintings.
He does, and Harvey is very interested in history of all types, and he's also very interested in where he is at any moment and what he's doing. And so when you look at these big paintings, you'll find that a lot of them are in some sense diptychs, not literally, but they include three very distinct images that kind of meld into each other a little bit. And one of them will be more personal generally, and then others refer to historic events. He has, in his history, he has family and friends who suffered through a lot of the events during World War II. And so some of that history is there. There's other world history there. But
some history about UB and the
activism
of the 1970s.
He was there when they had the riots were happening, and there would be all these faculty meetings to discuss what would be done. And there's one story that I don't talk about actually in my review, but Harvey was actually called one time and said, "We're going to go sit in at this office or confront this administrator," or whatever it was, some sort of action. And Harvey said, "Well, I have to paint today." And the reason I tell this story is that what you have to remember about these paintings is that they are paintings. They address formal concerns about color and line, and if they weren't interesting that way, we wouldn't want to look at them, no matter what they're about.
Okay. Now, you have a special event coming up this month. Tell us about that. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be here for it. I'm going to be in Paris.
Oh, good for you. We have a couple special events this month. One is our Faces of Western New York cocktail party, and that'll be fun to get to meet all the people who were featured in December in our Faces section, and that's going to be at 500 Seneca. And then just a week after, we have the issue launch for our February issue, which is going to come as a big surprise to all of our regular readers, and that's all I'm going to say right now.
Ooh, looking forward to that. Coming up
you
on
will be.
January 24th.
Yes.
Again, though, I'll be in Paris.
Well, okay. I suppose you'll probably be having more fun there.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.